This is Ian Griffin with another edition of Professionally Speaking and a ProTrack Profile. I'm here with Rhys Ludlow, who's been in ProTrack since January and is involved in video production. Good morning, Rhys.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about your business. I understand you do videos for speakers and other people. How did you first get into that?
I got into it quite a ways back in the 80s. I was doing a lot of editing for corporate videos, like for Wells Fargo and Chevron and that kind of, you know, high-level corporate videos, and also national spots. And I just decided to, I saw how much money was being sort of wasted in that, and formed my own company, and we've been that in the early 90s. So
are you a full-service video production and reproduction and the whole nine yards?
We started off doing mostly editing, since that was my background, and we've, you know, sort of morphed out over the years into doing production. In fact, one of the first larger productions we did was actually for a speaker, and that's sort of why I'm here, is because my clientele has always consisted of a good core of about maybe 20 to 25% professional speakers, and we're either doing their demo material or we're doing their work products for them.
So what advice would you have if somebody out there listening to this is a professional speaker, if they wanted to get a hold of you, is it best that they have a venue booked and they're going to speak in front of an audience, or do you just take them into a studio? What works best?
Well, I think primarily those things I've done, you know, people have had stuff shot already, and sometimes we will go out and shoot, and if they are shooting, it's important to think about the venue, because one of the things that people don't do is they think of their demo, especially for a demo, they think of it as a collection of clips, and really it's sort of they need to think of it more as a marketing video. And so they really want to think about where they're speaking is probably almost as important as what they're saying, if not more so. And make sure you show the audience, please, please, please.
And how do people use video these days? Is it obviously some on the web, on YouTube? I mean, what kind of creative ways have you heard of people using video?
Well, you know, what we used to do, you know, VHS tapes, you know, it was very important to put things in order. And the big thing now with both the web and DVDs, you don't have to decide. You can make a menu and have a series of clips so that the user can choose what's most interesting to them. So I think that's like a big change that's happened. But you still have an introduction that you really do have to carefully craft to get people's attention, to make them want to watch that other.
So what you're saying is it's best to have a menu of shorter, like 1 to 2 minute sections of speeches, say, as a menu of options for people to take a look at you?
Yeah, I think that's really how technology today can be used, you know, best. If you just have a piece that's this long piece for people to watch, you're really not using the technology as well as you could be.
Right. Now, when I think of video, I also think, I mean, we're today doing a podcast, which is sound only, so I presume sound is important, microphones, and the other thing must be lighting.
Yeah, I'd say that probably when people ask me what makes a good video, if they want to do if they want to produce their own video, the most important thing about video, ironically, is audio. You know, without good audio, the video, you know, people just perceive the video. It's more a perception thing. They just perceive it as being, you know, cheap and not well put together. So video, audio is first. Lighting is as well important. And that a lot of times you can't control if you're in an environment where you're speaking. The main thing is to try to find your light. And, you know, we all kind of can sense if there's a light shining on our face or not, and you just have to be really aware of that. Don't stand under a can light. You're going to cast big, ugly shadows in your eyes. Please don't stand in front of the projector. It really is difficult to edit pieces when people walk in front of their overhead. Just stay away from it.
Well, those are great tips. Now, you've been in ProTrack now since it's August, so 3/4 of the way through the program. What kind of things are you taking away from ProTrack?
Well, a lot, because I'm here for two reasons. One is I want to learn how to be a better speaker, because I see that as part of my business, but I'm not going to be a professional speaker full time. The other part is I have a lot of clients who are speakers, and I'm here really to understand their world. So as a service provider to speakers, it's been incredible to really see what all the concerns are. I really know the deep, dark underbelly of what it takes to be a professional speaker, and what are the main concerns and things that they have to deal with.
Well, that's an interesting phrase, the deep, dark underbelly, but I'm sure there's also light been shown on it as well.
There's a lot of work involved in being a professional speaker that I don't think most people ever even have a clue.
Right. And ProTrack's the place to find out what's involved.
ProTrack is great because it covers all aspects, you know, aspects that you really might not have even realized. You know, a whole thing on the one sheet. I mean, for instance, that's one example. It's just a lot, you know, there's a lot there. And actually, I missed that one, but I got the information on it. And just thinking about it, it's like, you know, you think, oh, a one sheet, you know, I'll knock that off in an afternoon.
Yep.
And there's more to it than that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Reese.
Thank you.